Hello, this is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this edition of the Strang Report for Friday, April 22nd, 2022. I don't very often date my podcasts. I know people will be listening a long time later, but today I'm at the campus of Oral Roberts University, and Mario Murillo is having a huge crusade, and I'm looking forward to attending it tonight. And this morning, I had the occasion to have breakfast with Mario. And while we were having breakfast with the dishes clanking in the background, I asked him if he would just share some things that he is working on. Actually, it's going to end up being in a book, and that's what we were talking about. And I just felt that I should do it as a podcast. I think what he had to share is so important and that I'm rushing it into print as an article on charismanews.com and also putting up the podcast. I hope you'll enjoy it. And then I have a surprise at the end of the podcast, so stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Mario Murillo, you have been ministering for a long time. I remember you from Resurrection City at Berkeley back in the very turbulent 1970s. The 70s and a little bit of the late 60s. And so you've seen a lot of stuff.
Yes, sir.
And it seems to be getting worse, but you seem to be seeing a change. Tell me about it.
Well, last night here at the Mabee Center, which... We had great trepidation about renting it. We ended up with 11,000 people there last night, which speaks to the moment that we're in, that things are shifting. And the question is if it's going to be a missed opportunity. And for the body of Christ, that's my gravest burden, is that we don't miss this opportunity.
And what do you see as the opportunity?
The opportunity is that the left has so overplayed its hand. Wokeness has been so devastating, miserable. Nothing it has touched has got improved. Everything it has touched has withered. And people are sick of it. They're tired of it. And so the opportunity is for the church to offer something to people. We don't need to even really defend ourselves anymore, because the immediate act of just human contact after the lockdown, after everything's done, it has an amazing effect. People are very open right now, and we can't miss this moment.
Talk to me about the openness. You see how, you know, people are open over time for different reasons,
right?
Different ages, different circumstances, but what is different about now?
What's different about now is because of the internet and because of technology, people tend to have uniform experiences, where America at one point was very individualistic. You couldn't expect someone from Montana to have the same values as someone from Alabama. Well, now you can, because the uniformity is virtual. They're online. So they all reach the same point of misery in a uniform manner. So that's what Jesus said in John chapter 4 when he said, don't you say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. But I say to you, look to the fields, for they are white unto harvest. And it's interesting that what he's saying is, look to the fields. This is what I'm telling people. We're hoping that one day people want to come to Christ. Well, we set up a tent. We advertise it. Thousands show up. We never have enough counselors, never have enough Bibles, never have enough people. Not even in the Jesus movement did I see it this way. In the Jesus movement, it was widespread and it felt gentle. This is a voracious appetite for God that I've not seen before. And we're overwhelmed. And last night we were overwhelmed. They estimate that 2,500 people came forward. We had 700 workers. So that's the harvest that's already there. We just have to get it.
You know, what you're saying sounds wonderful, but I've been around long enough to see moves of God come and go. You would be familiar with them.
Yes, sir.
One in Toronto, one in Brownsville, but even Promise Keepers. You know, at one time, Promise Keepers filled 23 football stadiums with enthusiastic men that were going to be godly men. Where's that gone? And even the Roman Catholic Charismatic Movement, which has touched millions.
Right.
They used to fill stadiums. Now they don't fill ballrooms and hotels.
Right.
You know, I mean, there is an ebb and flow to the move of the Spirit. And also in our culture, there are a lot of people who are deep, deep, deep involved in ungodly lifestyles, whether it's morally with homosexuality or some variation of that, or heavy into drinking and drugs. You know, anything kind of goes. And so there's almost like a resistance to anything religious.
Yeah.
What makes this different?
What makes it different is, I'll tell you a story about a woman of God who's a great preacher and a pastor today. But she was in a crack house. She was in a crack house for years. How she survived, we don't know. Her mother, who was a Pentecostal woman, would walk outside that crack house and just pray for her daughter to be delivered. And the day that she was delivered, the miracle was when she found herself, someone dropped a particle of crack on the floor, and they all leaped on the floor to grab it. She found herself on the floor grabbing at a piece of crack cocaine, and then it hit her. I have so degraded myself that this is what I am now. I'm nothing but an animal. I'm a creature, a monster. Well, that's what happened to the prodigal son. It said he saw himself there feeding the pigs, realizing that he was from a wealthy, respectable family, and it said he came to himself. That's the universal experience. I'll tell you about one girl that came to our tent crusade in Hanford, dressed as a man, cropped hair with a gangster look. And she was convinced that she was a man. She was in a relationship with another woman, but she convinced that she was a man. Power of God struck her, transformed her, delivered her. I saw her a month later. It's the most dramatic change I've ever seen. It was actually 3 months later. She had grown out her hair. She was wearing a lovely dress. She was absolutely set free. And I thought, this is just a innocent little girl, but she was remarkably changed. But she came to herself. That's what people are doing. And I think it's really important that we look to the fields. There were a lot of things that the disciples could have said to Jesus. Jesus, the Pharisees are trying to kill us. Jesus, we're constantly being harassed. We've actually performed miracles in cities and they rejected us. But Jesus staunchly said, look, the fields are white to harvest. And I think that it's dangerous to appeal to the lukewarm Christian when there's so many people famished for God right now. We have to deliberately go out and get them. We have to devise a plan to go and get them because they are ready.
You're working on a book.
Yes.
That deals with some of these issues.
Yes.
Can you describe the book that you're going to have? You're not only going to describe what's going on, but actually some strategies for moving ahead. Is that right?
Yes. Here's what it's called. It's called It's Our Turn Now. And one of the premises of the book is that we are no longer a remnant. We're watching various woke institutions feeling the pain. Disney, CNN, others are actually starting to feel economically. We're watching Elon Musk kind of target Twitter for its censorship, even trying to buy it. Well, this is the swinging of the pendulum. And there is a moment and an opportunity for us, and it won't last. It'll be here for a while, for us to infiltrate and take the positions. What's been happening is that the church has been fixated with a phrase, God is about to. We hear it all the time. God's about to do this. God's about to do that. Sometimes prophets will make prophecies and they don't come true. No one bothers to confirm, hey, what you said was going to happen in 6 months didn't happen. We get into this state where we're constantly expecting. What God wants is for us to realize We have to take the initiative, stop being passive, come up with strategies and plans, discern what God is saying, a practical thing. Here's what the number one question that I'm asked in my ministry. You keep saying we need to do something. How do we do it? How do we change the schools, the cities, the government? How do we have an effect for God? And what are the things that are holding us back? That's really what It's Our Turn Now is all about.
And the book, you're working on the book now.
Yes.
It's due in the summer.
Yes.
And it's going to be released around Christmas.
Wow. Yes.
These things take time.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, as we wrap up the short podcast, done in a noisy restaurant, but thank you for fitting this in. And, you know, I'll add an introduction and so forth back in the studio. But I want to give you the last word on, you know, we could do a deep dive and talk for hours.
Yes.
And you're doing a whole book on this. You minister, you know, hours on end, you know, a big miracle crusade tonight. You know, the energy last night was just off the charts. People are ready for something.
Yes, they are.
So I want to give you the last word.
Well, I want everyone to expect a miracle. I can't think of a better phrase. Being at ORU at the Mabee Center tonight, we are going to witness in the Mabee Center the things we witness in our tent. And it's going to be an amazing moment. But I want to say to all of you that are listening, your prayers are about to be answered. The shift in American morality is at the door. The danger is that we can lose it and we can miss it. But I know that we are at that moment where it's our turn. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, one of the things I get to do is to travel around, meet a lot of interesting people, have good conversations, and I have found that doing an impromptu podcast is often very popular. In fact, just a couple of weeks I did it with Jonathan Kahn. I was very concerned about the quality. Actually, when I listened to it, I thought the quality was fine. And I got tens of thousands of downloads of that. And I hope that you enjoyed this podcast with Mario. We continued to talk in our conversation, and he started to share something about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And I said, quick, let me turn on my phone. So I did. And it is so good, I almost was trying to think how I could edit it to put it on this podcast, but decided to do another podcast either tomorrow or the next day or two. So you'll want to tune in again. It's a very interesting insight that I've never heard. So be sure to tune in for that very special podcast as well. Meanwhile, as I said, share this with people. If you listen on iTunes or Spotify or really any of the other platforms, be sure to subscribe. Give us a good review. It helps us a little bit. And thank you for listening. My podcasts continue to grow. I'm running something over 500,000 downloads a month, and I have a goal of increasing that, mainly because I have some very big podcasts that catch on with people. And it's because when people like the podcast, they share it with friends. I hope you'll do that. I'd really appreciate it. And thank you for listening. And as I said, there's going to be another podcast with Mario as interesting or maybe more interesting than this one. So be sure to listen to that. Meanwhile, thank you for listening and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com.